I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. I have a most timely subject to discuss with you this morning. The roadways to the skies, open or shut. These last few days, the world has witnessed an amazing lesson. The lesson is that man can be isolated from his fellow man because of mere dust. The barrier of dust has changed itself overnight in the history of this world into an immovable obstacle. The airways of the world are no longer roads of communication, but rather doors and barriers of separation. Small dust has supplied the key to the greatest possible lock in the door of this world's communications. This key carrier is also the death spirit. Communications and a lie are endangered because of mere despised dust. God Almighty stopped his adversary in the garden, the satanic beast of hell himself, by ordering him an eternal menu of constant dust. That diet of the devil is still in operation. How almighty it is. That which the devil laughed at, dust, brought him down to the real hard earth. Upon his belly he will go. Those are the words of the judgment of Almighty God. If you turn in your Bible to the third chapter of Genesis, verses 14 to 15, you'll find these words. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The fact of the matter which we must face is the roads of the sky, open or shut. This unusual and tremendous closing of the gates of the skyways for the first time to such an extent, demonstrates the tremendous power and awful destruction ability it can wield over the entire universe. Those who require to use the paths of the sky are now facing a challenge their fathers had never even dreamed of. In the days of old, the waters of moats and the mighty keeps around the gates of the castles challenged the advance of the intruder. Now in our generation, the grinding of heaven's dust casts darkness over the entire earth, and a threat of such magnitude with powers that can only lead disaster and terrible disaster in their wake. The blockage of the paths of communication of this air-traveling age has produced a problem which takes away our very breath. The price of just being succor to those way home is solidly blocked. The price of just bringing succor to those whose way home is solidly blocked is astronomical. It is tying about the necks of the entire traveling population of the world a prolonged threat of killing. You see, we must learn that sinful man does not rule this world. He thinks he rules it, but he doesn't. The maker of heaven and earth is the real sovereign, controller, and monarch of his own handiwork. Disobedience to God's law will most certainly bring God's judgments. Obedience and humility must replace man's rebellion and pride of sinful heart. Admission of man's total inability and God's almightiness is the first step rebels must learn. They must bow to the sovereign king of all the earth. The curse which fell on Satan from the lips of God when his sin in urging on the rebellion of our first parents, Adam and Eve, was exposed, that will be our curse as well. Thank God, because of God's grace and divine intervention of his mercy, we can escape this curse and we can be delivered from the cruel results. Isaac Watts, who was the great hymn writer for the whole church, wrote these words: "Thy names, how infinite they be, great everlasting God, boundless thy might and majesty, and unconfined thy throne. The glorious shine of wondrous size and wondrous large thy grace. Immortal day breaks from thine eyes, and Gabriel veils his face. Thine essence is a vast abyss, which angels cannot sound. It is an ocean of infinities, where all our thoughts are drowned. The mysteries of creation lie beneath enlightened minds. Thoughts can ascend above the sky. They can fly before the winds. Reason may grasp the massy hills and stretch from pole to pole, but half thy name our spirit fills and overloads our soul. In vain our haughty reason swells, for nothing's found in thee but boundless inconceivables and the vast eternity. This is our God. He will be our God even forever. Sinful man is no match for the almighty creator of this world. Acknowledgement of this is the first step the world has to take. Man's garment of wisdom and ability is a lie, begotten and brought forth in Satan's hell. It is a way of total disaster and putting out of the lights of divine wisdom and almighty omnipotence. The impotence, the weakness, the stupidity, and the madness of mankind must be faced. Man cannot live by breath alone. Oh, that the world of men might learn this. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is this book that alone can point the way to redemption and salvation and forgiveness and deliverance. Rebellion against the God of the Bible is certain hell. Reconciliation with the God of the Bible is certain heaven. As we stand in the crossroads, which way are you going to take? Which way am I going to take? The wonderful word of the living God opens up the secrets of omniscience. God is the all wisdom, eternal God. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The Bible gives us outstanding information about the majesty and wonders of God's heaven. We know not the secrets of God's heaven because we have not meditated upon his revelation of the same. Behold these two covers. What parts them? A revelation of wisdom and infallibility. The wonders and mystery of the power of the God who creates us and who sustains us. The Heaven's Revealing Bible is the basis for the true wisdom and mystery that surrounds us. The Bible reveals to us that there are three heavens. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, you'll read these words. I knew a man, the Apostle Paul is the speaker, in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up, mark it, to the third heaven. Mark carefully, we can only understand God's revelation because it is revealed to us. If God had not revealed it, we would be in ignorance concerning the three heavens. But the saints of all ages have been taught that there's three heavens. We were reading today in our reading about Abraham. And when we read about Abraham, we find out that he was standing at the door of his life, and he could cry out, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. His forms of worship, his groves of carefully planted trees, Abraham's altars and mighty visitation from God were a foretaste of something, a foretaste of heaven in the future. I have not seen the water brooks which gust from the purest heavenly waters and a never ceasing flow. Neither did they behold the rivers of honey spoken of in the Bible flowing on the course for them by God. Neither could Abraham describe his communion with God. How sacred that moment was when Abraham tied Isaac, his only son, to the altar and raised the knife to shed his blood. How blessed was the offering of the lamb caught in the thorny thicket, a sacrifice crowned with thorns. How happy was the man Abraham and the son Isaac as they made their homeward journey. You talk about marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. But what of the Levitical priests and their attendants in the holy places of the tabernacle? And one of them entered, the chief priest, once a year to the holiest of all. And the bread was renewed and the candles were ever shining in the dark. And the blood of atonement stained the ark of the covenant of God. But what of the latter day glory that's going to come? 1,000 years of the coming first installment, the great millennium. with Mr. Spurgeon, the greatest of all English preachers, we can say, we do not profess to understand the minutiae of these things. It is enough to know that the crowning day is coming. It's enough to know that our eyes will glisten with joy in the full belief that it is coming. Don't ask of me to explain it. I cannot. But the Spirit answers to the blood that we are born of God. Our Master will reign over this world of ours, this wide, wide world. No, don't ask me further, for I cannot tell you the secrets that will be the thrill of all our everlasting joys. God will do more and more by and by. Heaven is not the heaven of the senses, for it tells me, eye hath not seen, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. How wonderful heaven is. Your ears have not heard it. Your eye hath not seen it. Its secrets are yet to be taught you of God. For we read, it has never entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for those that love him. It is not the heaven of the intellect. Only the Spirit of God can give you or me a guess of what heaven is like. Divine revelation alone, which reveals the divine rest, the saints' everlasting rest. The old hymn writer, Thomas Kelly, from the city of Dublin 2 centuries ago, wrote the words, "What is life? 'Tis but a vapor. Soon it vanishes away. Life is like a dying taper. Oh, my soul, why wish to stay? Why not spread thy wings and fly straight to yonder world of joy? See that glory, how resplendent, brighter far from hasty paints, there in majesty transcendent, Jesus reigns, the King of saints. Spread thy wings, my soul, and fly straight to yonder world of joy. Joyful crowds his throne surrounding sing with rapture of his love. Through the heavens his praises sounding, spread thy wings, my soul, and fly straight to yonder world of joy. Go and share his people's glory. Midst a ransom crowds appear, thine a joyful, wondrous story, one that angels love to hear. Spread thy wings, my soul, and fly straight to yonder world of joy." But turn to the revelation of God in his written word. What's the first words of the Bible? "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the Hebrew, the word heaven is in the plural. Literally reading, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the original Hebrew particle F, that is written in every word in the Old Testament when the word heaven is used. It is a way to make the singular noun a plural one. God created the heavens. All through the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, this is how it is written, except on one occasion, and that is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, when it is the singular word heaven. The heaven in the Old Testament, Hebrews 2 verse 1, did not create heaven singularly, but the heavens were in the plural. And according to 2 Corinthians, which I've read to you, there were three heavens. The first heaven, you can see it with the eye. It's the heaven in which the birds of the air fly. The second heaven is the heaven of the sun and the moon and the stars. But the third heaven is God's own dwelling place. According to Revelation chapter 20, the first heaven will one day reach its end, and all this earth with it. Revelation 20:11. The earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So much for the end of the first heaven. In the book of Revelation, the second heaven, the heaven of the sun, moon, and stars, we are informed, will also be destroyed. Revelation 6:13, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, and in verse 14 of the same chapter, the second heaven passed away forever like a great scroll. Then the dwelling place of God will come down, and of that kingdom there shall be no end. There shall be truly a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. From the depths of my heart I say, Lord, haste that day. Earth has engrossed my love too long. It's time I lift my eyes upward, dear Father, to thy throne and to thy native skies. There the blessed man, my Savior, sits. The God, how bright he shines and scatters infinite delights on all the happy minds. Seraphs with elevated strains circle the throne around, and move and charm the starry plains with an immortal sound. Jesus the Lord their harps employ. Jesus my love they sing. Jesus the life of both our joys sounds sweetly from every string. Hark, beyond the narrow bound of time and space they run, and echo in majestic sounds the Godhead of the Son. And now they sink the lofty tune, and gentler notes they play. They bring the Father's equal down to dwell in humble clay. But when to Calvary they turn, silent their harps abide, suspended songs a moment mourn, the God they love has died. Then all at once, to living strains that summons every chord, tell how he triumphed o'er his pains, and chant the rising Lord. Now let me join their wondrous song, and be an angel too. My heart, my ear, my hand, my tongue, hear joyful work for you. I would begin the music here, and so my soul should rise. Oh, for some heavenly notes to bear my passion to heaven's skies. There ye that love my Savior sit, there I would find a place among your thrones or at his feet, so that I might see his face. I can only end this message with the words of the great apostle, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Make sure your name is upon one of those homes in the land bright and fair. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be there also. What makes heaven heaven? Its buildings so bright and so fair? No. What makes heaven what it is? Because Jesus is there. And where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank thee for the joy when we get there. Oh, the crowns of joy we'll wear in that happy land so fair. May not one member of this congregation be lost. May every one of them have a saving interest in the precious blood of the Lamb. And may we rejoice together that our names are written in heaven. Amen and amen.